So as I mentioned, we're drawing this series we've been doing in Exodus. We started at the beginning of this term. We're drawing that now to a close. We're going to have a sequence through the book of James before we get to Christmas. But coming to the end of Exodus is not the end of the story. Remember, through this whole year, we've been thinking about his story. His story in the creation that he created and his interaction with it and humanity and the narrative of history. His story and our story, our place in his story. And Exodus is the story of a group of people, a formed nation, about a million people, we guess, and their birth as a nation, their story. But we get to the end of Exodus, and it doesn't just stop, but it goes on. Exodus has been preparing them for the greater story that God has for them. But you will have noticed, the sharper among you, that I've skipped a whole load of chapters. Last week we were back in chapter 20, and now by some strange Doctor Who time warp, we find ourselves in chapter 40. And in that, there is more story, but there is also chapters and chapters and chapters of detail that I have not attended to in this series. Detail about building a portable temple, a tabernacle, a kind of a tent to worship, and detail about the furnishings to go in that. Detail about how Aaron, Moses' brother, was going to be the first priest to worship and serve in that temple, and details about the rituals, the ritual washing, the special clothes that he was going to wear, the way he was going to approach the different sacrifices, lots and lots of sacrifices and side orders of sacrifices, loads and loads of detail that I skipped over. Just before this passage in Exodus 40, there are five whole chapters of more detail. And there's a little bit of story interwoven as we go from chapter 20 to 40, but loads of detail that I've skipped over, not because it's not important, but because it wasn't going to serve our purposes for this particular series. But that detail talks about the preparation of holiness to go before God. And that's actually a little bit hard for us to get our head round, because we do worship quite informally. Some might say to me, perhaps too informally, and that's a valid question about when is informality too informal. Because if you look at these chapters that I've skipped over, there is all this detail about getting yourself right and doing it right. If you're going to come to the temple to worship God, follow all these steps, make sure you're wearing the right clothes, make sure you do the right sacrifices and all the right stuff to be absolutely right and holy before you worship God. Whereas we emphasize the approachability to God, but of course is available in Christ. Whereas these chapters imply that God is somehow not approachable unless you carefully work through these different steps. So a little bit of a conundrum there, something to tease out. The chapters talk about getting things right and make a distinction between what in biblical terms would be called the common and for holy, a distinction that we perhaps find hard to get our heads round. But those chapters are done. We've skipped over them. Moses and Aaron have made all their preparations. They've got skilled workers. They've made the tabernacle. They've made all the right stuff. And they've lined up all the right sacrifices. And they've done the ritual washing and all this stuff. It is now done. And we get to this passage in chapter 40 and verse 33. It says, "And when it was all done..." So all those preparations, all that stuff is now done and complete, and they are ready for this moment of worship. The work is finished. no more to do. And that's when we get to 34, verse 34, and it says, the cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In fact, it was so wondrous, it was such a special thing, that there was so much of God that Aaron and Moses now couldn't enter the tabernacle because it was all just so glorious. A bit of irony there. You've just spent all this time making all these preparations, building this tabernacle and getting it all right so you can go in and worship. Well, when the moment comes, you can't go in because the glory of God is just so impressive. Well, again, it's hard for us to appreciate what that might look like. It's one of several special moments in the Old Testament. This kind of phenomena occurs several times through the story in the older part of the Bible, where the glory of God just descends and everyone is just frozen in worship. We don't know how that moment lasts, but it probably seemed like 10,000 years. Just time stood still as the glory of God was there. Well, since the older part of the Bible, there are times recorded in different congregations, different churches, where God just comes down in a special way. There's instances of people in the United States where the glory of God just comes down and they just spend days lying on the ground because the presence of God is just so amazing. And other places where strange things have been experienced in church gatherings and worship times and congregations coming together, and the glory of God descends. The imminent presence of God, an unbeatable experience, an indescribable experience. God with us in full glory. But that's all great and fantastic, and we could talk about that forever. But actually, that's not the point of what I want to talk about today. I want to move on to verses 36 to 38, which says the glory of God came down and it filled the temple. It was a great experience. I had the presence of God, but it was not stationary. So if you remember nothing from this morning but one thing, remember this one thing. The glory of God came down and it was a wonderful, amazing experience, but it was not stationary. After a while, it moved. It physically moved on. Because this was not the end of the story. This was not the end of the journey. They had the presence of God right there among them a million people. But it was not the end of a journey. Things were not yet complete. They were not yet fully at rest. God wanted to take them forward to new places. He still had movement for them to experience, to go through. He had stuff for them to do, lands to take, lessons to learn, and a journey forward to travel. So whilst the glory of God descended, it was not stationary and moved on. So for us, as we seek his glory and we would love his glory and a sense of his glory just descending on us as we perhaps get a glimpse at a shard in our worship together. But even if his glory was to descend on us, it would not necessarily be static. And we should not think that in a moment like that we have arrived to be static. Because the glory of God will move and lead us forwards. It will go ahead of us. There is more stuff God has for us to do. So be prepared to move, to journey, to learn new things. But do it with the presence of God. do it, going as he leads. See that the Israelites, they had a wondrous thing. They had in the daytime, it was a cloud, and in the night, it was a pillar of fire. So it was pretty unmistakable. Perhaps for us, it's perhaps a little bit harder to discern. But whenever the pillar of fire or the cloud moved, they knew that was time to pack up camp and get all their stuff and move as a million people to the next place where it settled for a few days. We need to learn to see where the glory of God is calling us to next. To not simply think we are static, but to see where is the glory of God take us next. So a key question and challenge for us introducing this week, and this is about us looking outwards, is what is the next phase of the journey? Where is the glory of God? Where is his presence going to lead us to next? In which direction is he going to take us? And to just be open to that and to be asking and seeking God for that. And that's why the challenge there is look ahead, because I meet quite a few people, and I know some are in this congregation, who live their lives like this, looking at what's in front of them, really close range, and never look a little ahead. There are times where we have to look ahead to see what the next phase is, where God is taking us next. As a church here, we are praying with this keyword capacity. Lord, where will you give us more capacity for mission? And what will that look like? And we are deliberately, as a leadership team, playing loose with the blueprint of what that might look like. We are deliberately parking that for a moment and just saying, okay, God, where's the next phase? Where are you taking us next? How will that open out for you leading us into more mission? And our prayer with that is, Lord, will you send the given lives, the people who just want to devote themselves to that mission task that you have, and launch themselves into that and structure their lives, their work, their time, their whatever income they need to live, will kind of gear themselves to be in the zone of where the Spirit is leading into that next opening of mission. Given lives, given to how the Spirit wants to lead for what Jesus wants us to do. But when we do that, we want to do that not simply with great ideas. We are quite capable of coming up with great ideas. And they're great by definition. But we would rather have God ideas. Ideas where the Spirit of God is moving and his presence are going to next. So that we learn to follow God no matter what. And yes, we experience God on those mountaintop, wonderful, high-level moments and times, mountaintop experiences, but also experience God through the valley. Experience God in the settled places and experience God on the move. So what is the next phase of a journey? Learn to look ahead. That is the message for this morning. Remember that the presence of God comes down, but is not static. And let us learn to look ahead, to see, to go with him and go with his presence. Not simply go in some arbitrary direction or even some great direction, but to go where his presence is taking us. Now, to help you process that and think that, we've got an extended time this service. We do this about twice a year. We don't do it every week. Where we've got different zones for you to use or to think. And I'm going to explain how those work now. We have over in this corner a ponder and practical zone. Now, this is where we're thinking about what we've been learning in the series and thinking, how do we put that into practice? The lessons we're learning in discipleship, how would we disciple other people? There's a sheet there, sheets to take away, and a resource to look at. So that's the ponder and practical area. And I suggest you just pick one zone and use that. Over here, some of you will be thinking, well, now you've introduced this Exodus book. How does that fit in those first books of the Bible? So here is the deepening knowledge zone, I want to research this a bit deeper area. And so there's some stuff here about the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Pentateuch, okay? And that's all explained on these sheets. There's a sheet to take away, stuff to look at there. So ponder practical, head knowledge, learning good stuff over here. Now, it may be that hearing about all this tabernacle and tent and holiness business, you think that's interesting, but I don't really want to express my brain too much. I don't want it to be too hard, but I'd like to learn and I'd like it to be fun. Well, this is the table for you, because there is stuff here about the tabernacle and how it was all laid out and all the different things in it. And what you can then do is, if you want, you can then build your own tabernacle out of Duplo. Okay? So there you go. The Duplo set is there for your own tabernacle version if you just want to learn about the tabernacle and have some fun. So ponder practical, head knowledge, fun learning. Finally, the fourth zone will be at the back there, and that is for those who would like prayer, like to ponder this and pray into this, maybe into the key questions we've been talking about. I'll share some other things for prayer in a moment. So just find yourself at the back. And if there's a group of us, then what we will do is we will pray for each other, and I will direct that and lead that. We've got about 12 minutes, so pick one zone and make your way to that. If you just want to sit quiet and ponder, maybe read the Bible, that's cool too. There's a bonus, which is the prayer station that I've talked about. You might want to come and see what the secret message is in that prayer station. But that's a bonus to look at, as well as doing one of the other zones. Let's pray for a moment, and then we'll disperse for 10, 12 minutes in different directions. Then the band will lead us in closing worship. Dear God, we thank you that you have purposes for us. You lead for a reason. It's not an arbitrary wander in the desert, but you are shaping and growing and taking us to be the people you want us to be. So may we learn to be attentive to your spirit and your prompting, to get a sense of that next phase and have faith that you will provide everything that we will need for that phase. Lord, may we walk with you. My sense this morning is that for some of you, this is proving to be a hard term. And maybe for some of you, you are just wondering, is this the hardest term ever that you have had to face? If that's you, then I suggest you go to the prayer zone and we will pray with you. For others, it's anxiety notching up, and you are trying to deal with anxiety in that, but you can feel it notching up. Again, I would suggest that you go to the prayer zone today and we'll pray with you. But maybe you just want prayer for his healing presence or healing in any form. Join us in the prayer zone and we will pray with you into that. Now there's about 12 minutes of music. Different zones, choose one zone, use that as a bonus, or come for prayer.